So Jeff, where are we today in terms of adjuvant and again, consolidation in the locally advanced setting, targeted therapy lung cancer?
Let's remember that Dr. Wakely led the first adjuvant targeted therapy trial with bevacizumab, right? And that didn't move the bar and didn't change our practice. I think we can agree that these oral TKIs used in a precision fashion might be more compelling. Still, we don't know if we can use the drugs when they recur or if patients need to receive this adjuvant therapy to prevent recurrence. I think one of the key questions of the randomized trials will be that, yes, we expect to delay recurrence in a proportion of patients, but will we actually change survival by delaying recurrence? And so do you need to sign up for that extra pill therapy once a day, feeling like a cancer patient for years after surgery? Or can you just hold off and feel like a cancer patient when you have cancer that recurs? And so that's two NCI trials, an ALK trial of crizotinib versus observation, and an EGFR trial of erlotinib versus observation, and then a number of sponsored trials, osimertinib versus observation, alectinib versus observation. Those are enrolling globally, but right now I'm not doing it routinely off study again because I don't think patients necessarily need it, and they, as long as they're going to get that drug when they recur, and that's very important. You know, Dr. Love, you mentioned some of the positive studies that have changed practice, but in kidney cancer, for example, adjuvant sunitinib has pushed out disease-free survival, hasn't changed overall survival, and so there's some reluctance as to whether you need that extra oral therapy toxicity or you can just hold off. And so there's some debate about trials that change DFS without OS. Back to your point about neoadjuvant therapy or for locally advanced disease, it's such a cool idea to use pill therapy to reduce the volume before chemo-rads, but those studies are so hard to do, so hard to get the genotyping back and give precision therapy before chemo-rads. And the randomized trial ended up closing due to slow enrollment. And so the trials that are enrolling are not induction trials, but actually there's a post-chemo-rads trial of osimertinib versus observation in stage three EGFR mutant lung cancer. I think that makes some sense. We talked about how durvalumab is not a very compelling option for these patients. Maybe TKI therapy is an alternative. That'll take some time to read out, but it's reasonable. Again, I'm not doing it now routinely. I'm focusing on trials.
Matt?
I would also just make a point about neoadjuvant trials. A lot of excitement in the immunotherapy world about neoadjuvant approaches, but it also makes at least some plausible sense. If you have a patient who is marginally resectable, might there be a role for neoadjuvant benefit leading to a more resectable or converting a pneumonectomy to a lobectomy, and also to look at the pathologic effects of those drugs. So that we do have a trial here at UCSF. There, I think LCMC is having a trial upcoming. So that might also be a provocative area where you can give a month or two of the targeted therapy, get that brisk response, and very unlikely to affect a patient's eligibility or safety to proceed with surgery. So it's also a nice platform for seeing really what's going on at the tumor level.